सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यम् करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
Today, I only want to repeat the old lessons. Till now, what all we have seen, I want to repeat. To repeat the same lesson, I want to introduce today's teaching a little differently. And to introduce the teaching differently, I ask this question first. Do you love yourself or not? Do we all love ourselves or not? Do you love yourself? We ask the question. If whatever answer you have, that doesn't matter. I have an answer. I say, you all love yourselves. Every one of us loves one's own self. You all love yourselves. You love yourself. The question you might ask, how do you know, how do you say that I love myself? How do you say that I love myself? Because I love myself, therefore I know that you also love yourself. I know very well I love myself, therefore I know that you also love yourself. Just because you love yourself, can you say that I love myself? We ask, yes. Still I know very clearly you love yourself. And how do you say that I love myself? Because of the desire you have. Love, no? You have the desire. What's the desire? You have the desire. You have love for the longevity. You have love for your continuous, unending existence. I want to be there forever. I want to be there always. Really speaking, I don't want to die. The love for continuous existence is there. I want to be there. I should not become non-existent in the sense there should not be that I'm not there. No? I should not cease to exist. I should be there. I want to be there. That love for long life itself is the proof that you love yourself. And from there, there's a proof that you want to be there around. You don't want to go soon, which means you like yourself. That's why you want to be there. If you say Which means, one more thing we can say, the love is always for something which is desirable. Which the desirability is always because of, if it, the object is a source of pleasure, an object of happiness. You will never have love for something which is not an object of happiness, object of pleasure, which is not a source of pleasure. You want to run away, get rid of people, run away from people who make you unhappy. You don't want to think of situations which make you unhappy. And you always like things, love things, objects, things, situations, places, people you love, which make you happy. So, from that logic, what do we understand? Love is always for something which makes me happy, which is a source of happiness, which is an object of pleasure. I never like something which is not, which is an object of, no, which makes me unhappy. So, which is the source of unhappiness or pain is not an object of love. And I love myself the most. I love myself the most. The dearest to me, the most lovable, the most loved for me is myself. Therefore, I must be the greatest source of happiness. The love is always for things which are sources of happiness and pleasure. And I love myself the most, therefore I must be the greatest source of happiness and pleasure. There cannot be anything else which is a greater source of happiness than me. I am the greatest source of happiness. And the scripture adds, you are the only source of happiness. I, the self, am the only source of happiness. I am the greatest source of happiness. How do you know? Because I love myself. So what? We never love something, like something, which does not make us happy, does not please us. Isn't it true? Love, the desirability is always, liking is always for things which make us happy and pleased. And I love myself the most. Therefore, I must be the greatest source of happiness. I must be the only source of happiness. This is how a textbook, one Vedantic text, helps us understand logically the self being the source of happiness, the self's nature being happiness. Self is of the nature of happiness, fullness. So what you want to accomplish, what you want to be, if people say, I want to be happy, I want to become happy, they say, I want to be happy, I want to become happy means, you can never become happy. Why? Because you are already happiness. You are already happiness means what? You are of the, first sentence is you are happiness. You are of the nature of happiness. You are the only source of happiness. You are the only source of greatest happiness. You are the greatest source of happiness. Atma Ananda Swarupaha. And this, how do you arrive at it? Logically. What is the logic here? Love is always for things which make me happy. Therefore, I love myself the most. Therefore, I must be the greatest source of happiness. And how do you know that I love myself? I love myself the most, therefore I must be the greatest source of happiness. How do you know that I love myself? Because there's always love for long life. How do you know? Because I don't want to die. Because there's no desire for death. Be frank, okay? You all have to be really. Nobody really wants to die. I want to die. If you want to die means you are not mentally healthy, okay? That's a different problem. Naturally, any human being will say, I want to live. How long? I want to live long. I want to live is the desire. Why do you want to live? That love for your life, love for continuous existence is the proof that you love yourself the most. And you love yourself the most, you are the dearest to yourself, is the proof that you are of the greatest source of happiness. Now, this is logic. Okay, logically you understand that you are of the nature of happiness. Now the question comes, if I am happiness, if I the self am of the nature of fullness and happiness, then why my nature being happiness is not experienced, enjoyed. My nature being happiness is not enjoyed. Why it is not known then? So here the question comes, do you know yourself or not? The question comes, do you know yourself or not? If you say, I know I am myself. If you say, do not know yourself at all, totally, I do not know myself means, if you're totally ignorant of yourself, then you cannot have love for yourself. Why? Love for something totally unknown is not possible. Isn't it true? Can you have liking, a love, desire for something which you do not know at all? Impossible, isn't it? What is the logic here? It is impossible for one to have love or desire, a liking for something which one does not know at all. Do you all want chocolates, Cadbury's chocolates? If we ask, you will all say what? Yes. Why? You know what it is. Swamiji's word. Do you want Gagabugai? You cannot have desire for something which you do not know at all. You cannot have love for something which you do not know at all. So totally unknown thing cannot become an object of liking or love or desire. Totally unknown thing cannot be an object of hatred also. Totally unknown. You cannot have. Isn't it true? I hate Gagabugai. Can you say that? You don't even know what Gagabugai is. Why do you hate it? The very sound, I hate it. That I can understand. That you know. So, love or hatred, liking or hatred is not possible of something which is totally unknown. Therefore, now what is the proof? You love yourself. Therefore, you know yourself. Understand? Love is not, see, a totally unknown thing cannot become something which is loved. But I love myself the most. Therefore, I cannot say I do not know myself. So the self is not totally unknown. Okay, then do you know yourself totally then? Is self known totally? The self is known totally also. You would have known what? You would have known the self being happiness. If you know the self totally, you would have known the nature of yourself being fullness, happiness. Then you must be reveling in happiness, fullness always. There cannot be unhappiness, sadness and fear and anxiety and tension and then jealousy and hatred and anger and confusion at all. All the time you will all be Ramas. That is what the meaning of the word Rama. Understand? Ramaha means the one who revels in one's own nature of fullness. Swasmin Ramate iti Ramaha. You'll all be the Atma Ramas. Atma Ramaha means what? One who revels in one's own glory, one's own fullness, nature of fullness. If you know yourself, then you must be knowing your nature being fullness. Then you must be reveling in fullness. What does it mean by saying reveling in fullness? Delighting in one's own self. Reveling in oneself, being delightful, no, means not having any pain at all. Unafflictedness, not being sorrowful, not being afflicted and not being tense and not being, not having becoming the victim of jealousy, hatred, anger, confusion, tension, fear, at all. Therefore, what does it mean now? Self, if you knew the self totally, then you would have known the nature of yourself being happiness, would have been yourself happiness, reveling in happiness, then it is impossible for you to crave for anything else in the world. Again, slogging after objects of pleasure in the world will not be possible if you know yourself. You will not go after objects of pleasure if you are reveling in fullness. Is it clear or not? You have to see that. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Something very beautiful. Therefore, self is not known totally. That is why I'm still craving for other things. I'm running after things, searching for happiness. I'm going after worldly things. Always searching for happiness. I'm going to so many things. The self is not totally unknown also. It is known partially. That is why I love myself. So from what you understand, is partially known, partially unknown. It is not totally unknown, not totally known. Why is it not totally known? Atma Surupam, the nature of the self being fullness, the happiness, is not known because it is covered. What is it which is covering? There is an obstacle. There is an obstacle which prevents me from knowing the self, the nature of the self being happiness. how is it? How is the self known, half, partially known, partially unknown? It is like, I'll tell you how it is. We all attended one program, a Gujarati drama, you know, and then there was a group of chorus that was singing. People were all singing songs, okay? The group of people singing. And our Jay also was acting as Meera's father. So all of them were singing. So he was also singing. We all see Jay singing, okay? We were all seeing, sitting there. We saw Jay singing, we heard him singing, we all heard him singing. At the same time, we could not hear him singing. His voice was heard or not? His voice was heard because we saw him singing. But his voice was not heard also. Jay's voice was heard in chorus singing. It was not also heard specifically. Why? What? It was heard, it was also not heard. Is it clear? Because you see him singing in a group. He is one among the, one of the many who sang. Therefore, we could hear him, his voice. At the same time, we could not hear his voice. What was that? There was an obstacle. What was that obstacle? Obstacle means that prevented us from hearing his voice. It was the chorus singing. Chorus singing was the obstacle. Understand? The chorus singing was the obstacle, which, because simultaneous singing of all the actors was the obstacle which prevented us from hearing his voice. Understand? So his voice was heard, also not heard. Is it clear or not? Heard, also not heard. Because the chorus simultaneous singing was the obstacle which prevented us from hearing his voice. Similarly, here also, something which, understand now, the self is known, it is also not known. I know I am. I know I am a conscious being. Understand? At the same time, what now? Happiness being my nature is not known. So what is the obstacle here? There, now the chorus singing, Jay's voice is heard or also not heard. The obstacle is simultaneous chorus singing. And here, Atma, the self is known as I am. But my nature is happiness is not known. Half known, half not known. The obstacle is caused by avidya. Understand? Avidya. So, I can tell you, there is a definition of an obstacle here. What is an obstacle? What do you mean by an obstacle in seeing something? Understanding something. Very difficult definition is here. An obstacle is that makes the transactable object non-transactable. It's a definition. That which makes the transactable object and non-transactable is an obstacle. pratibandha. Pratibandha is a Sanskrit word for obstacle. This transactability in Sanskritam is called asti bhati vyavaharaha. Asti bhati vyavaharaha. See now, here is a mic, and this mic, see this is an object called mic, and this object is now useful, it is usable, isn't it? Usability is what? We can use it, it serves a purpose because it is available, isn't it? It's a transactable, accessible, usable. Why it is usable, transactable, and accessible? Because it is. It is. How do you say it is? Because it shines. It shines, isn't it? Shines means what? The existence is known. It is evident. This object called mic is evident. It is revealed. It is known, which means it shines. It shines, therefore it is. Is, asti means is. Because bhati, it shines. So an object which exists, which shines, is what now? Transactable object. An object which shines, is a transactable object. Which means the object enjoys transactability. The object being transactable, the object enjoying the transactability is in Sanskritam called what? Asti bhati vyavaharaha. So the transactable object now, listen to me. This is simple mic, you all say. Suppose I say, there are lot of koya palam. Please all of you take. There is a basket full of koya palam. Please all of you take. If I tell you, and you all see right in front of your eyes a basket full of guava fruits, okay, guava. But you don't go and touch here anything. You are wondering, Swami is going to give us something. She said, she told us to take and go, so we'll wait. You're all waiting, simply quoting. I'm sitting here and I'm expecting you to take koya palam. And you're all waiting for me to get something what you heard. Now I'm wondering, I told them to take koya palam, why they're all sitting, not moving, an inch from where they're sitting. And you're all wondering, Swamiji said, please all of you take koya palams. And she's also not moving. We have to go. We are delayed. Why she's not getting up and giving us koya palam, something. So I am sitting and you are sitting. Nothing's happening. And there is a basket full of guava fruits in front of you, in front of me. Is it clear now? Guava asti. Guava is. Guava na bhati. It does not shine for you. You know why? Because you could not connect the word. What is that word? Koya palam. The word I used, the Tamil word. You understood my whole sentence. Please all of you take koya palam and go. Understood every sentence. The whole sentence was very clear. Koya palam was something which you didn't understand. You thought, you did not, you could not connect a Koyyapalam is equal to Gova. You do not know. Understand? Even though the basket full of Gova fruits was not covered, was revealed, we are all seeing. And somehow we were thinking also, why she didn't give us Gova so much or so many and then. So why did not take it? I told you. Because you did not know the Koya Param was this Gova. But what I'm saying, which means as the object is what now? The Gova, the fruit Gova, known by the word Koya Param, is for you, it is what now? Non-transactable object, non-accessible object. Understand? Why is not, even though right in front of it is there, still it became what? Non-transactable, non-accessible, non-attainable. Isn't it? Even though it is attainable, easily accessible, easily you could have picked it up easily, but still you could not do it. In like having it right in front of you, you just did not pick it up. The easily, understand, easily enjoyable fruit became non-enjoyable. Understand? You could easily, the acceptable fruit became non-attainable. Why? What made it now? What prevented it from taking the Gova? Your ignorance, isn't it? It was covered by the ignorance of what the word Koyyapalam mean. Therefore, what I say, the obstacle is that which makes the transactable non-transactable. What makes the accessible inaccessible? Obstacle is that which makes the accessible inaccessible, which makes the attainable inattainable, which makes the enjoyable non-enjoyable, which makes the transactable non-transactable. Is it clear? So what is that? You know, the transactability is made, in which prevents the transactability of an object from being transactable is the obstacle. That is what the definition of an obstacle. And here, your Atma is what? Atma Swarupam is? Atma is not totally unknown, because it is known, the proof is that you love yourself. Because you love yourself, it is known to you. But you do not know yourself totally. If you really know yourself totally, then you will not have craving for anything in the world. How can fullness have love for anything in the world? Understand? Longing for things, craving for things, running after things, slogging for things, anxiety, be anxious about whether I'll get it or not, I'll lose it or not, what will happen. The anxiety, fear, insecurity, all these things are possible only if there is no fullness. In fullness this is not possible, isn't it? Therefore the very proof is what? That you are craving for things and running after things is the proof that the self is not known totally. The obstacle that prevents from taking ownership of your own self being, understand, this is mine. Taking your own ownership of your own Swarupa nature being happiness is what? This avidya. Avidya is the pratibandha. Therefore, for you to take ownership of your nature being happiness, you need not attain the happiness, which is your. How can you attain your nature? How can you attain yourself? Can you attain yourself? You can never attain yourself. You can attain your nature. So you cannot attain happiness. You're already happiness. You don't need to, you cannot. Don't need to, you cannot. Because already yourself. Therefore, now, in order to know your happiness, you need to only know your nature, your swarupa. To know for you, your own swarupam, your nature being fullness, for the fullness to become evident, for the happiness your become evident, the obstacle needs to be resolved. The obstacle, the pratibandha, what is that? Just as the ignorance alone covered the basket full of guava fruits, isn't it? Your ignorance of what koya, the koya palam meaning guava fruit, prevented you from picking it up and happily going, isn't it? Similarly here, just to take ownership of your nature being happiness, what prevents is what now? The obstacle, isn't it? The obstacle is avidya. Therefore, only the cause for the obstacle is the avidya. The avidya has to be resolved. Resolving avidya will help you. What now? Once you resolve the avidya, remove the obstacle, no avidya, then you do not attain it, it will shine. Happiness will shine. Your own nature will shine. It is not shining now. It is there. It remains, what now? It is not shining. Like guava fruit is here, doesn't shine for your eyes. Why? It is, it doesn't shine. Which means your what blocks here? You have clean eyesight, vision. Light is there, fruits are there, but what prevents is your what blocks here? What is that which obstacle is what? Your ignorance, isn't it? So here, what is this avidya? Therefore, you have to resolve the avidya. If you resolve avidya, that's enough. See, removing your ignorance of the word koyaparam meaning gova, does it create the gova? Tell me. Do you know what I'm saying? Does it create the gova, isn't it? When I say koyapara means gova, means when you come to know, doesn't create the gova. Gova is already there, isn't it? All that you, do you get what I'm saying? Is it clear or not? It's already there, it only shines. Oh, koyapara means just gova. Your removal of the ignorance of the word, what the word koyapara means, does not create the gova. Gova is already there. The ignorance goes, gova which is already there shines for you. Oh my God, what is this? Similarly, happiness is not even created. Its very nature, which is already there, it shines. Your swarupam shines. Fullness shines. Your own nature, being, happiness, fullness, limitlessness shines. When the avidya is resolved, you cannot destroy it. It can be resolved. Is it clear now? Therefore, the only way we can take ownership of happiness, fullness, which is our own nature. My God. big bank balance you have, you don't know your account number. What a treasure, isn't it? Like that. If at all I find my number, account number finished. Similarly, avidya has to be resolved to discover your moksha, empire of moksha. You the emperor. How to resolve avidya? You cannot destroy avidya. Resolve. To resolve avidya, understand, come on, go, and what this avidya is. What this avidya is. You search for avidya's root to resolve it. Understand? That is what here the Vedanta Sara teacher does. He wants to understand, wants us to, helps us understand what avidya is. Thereby, he wants to help us resolve avidya. Understanding, like, you know, if you want to resolve the snake, you need to see, go and see what this snake is. Then snake will resolve in rope. Similarly, you understand what this avidya is. You search for avidya. Avidya will resolve in its... Avidya will resolve. What the avidya is? So avidya will resolve. And avidya resolves and the obstacle is gone. Your own wealth of your nature of fullness, which was non-enjoyable, becomes enjoyable. Is it clear? Then you can revel in ecstasy, fullness. And to resolve that avidya, to understand what avidya is, he is presenting the whole analysis of creation. Not only we are going to understand, resolve the avidya, we are going to resolve the whole cosmos also. We have to negate the whole universe also. So he started this analysis of creation in Vedanta Sara. So, he presented, now don't think about the avidya. He just says, there is matter. And which is anadihi. The science said after a long time, matter is uncreated, therefore it cannot be destroyed. They said, no beginning, therefore it has no end, it cannot be destroyed, indestructible. But our Vedanta Shastra says, matter is anadihi, beginningless, uncreated, therefore it cannot be destroyed for good. There is no such a thing called absolute destruction of anything here. Whatever you call it a destruction is a relative destruction, which is non-preventable, unavoidable, inevitable, constant change, is the nature of the matter. And here that matter is also, what now? For a scientist, the original matter will ever be a mystery. He can never arrive at it. He can talk about singularity and all that, but still, he never arrive at it. The original matter, most abstract, subtlest matter, is what? Mula avidya. Or mulam ajnanam, or mula prakritihi. use three Sanskrit verbs. Got it? And that Moola Vidya or Moola Prakritihi or Moola Jnanam. But listen to three words, don't get confused, okay? All the three mean the same. But you have to put that prefix, what? The word, preceding word, Moola. Moola means what? Uncreated, beginningless. Moola root. The primordial cause, we say. Not a cause, actually speaking. In science physics, they say the primordial. No. We can better say, use the word matter. The original matter. And that matter itself, we give, is of three types. Three types. That matter is, why we call three types, we say because the matter is of three constituents. Inexplicably subtlest matter is of three constituents called sattva, gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. There are no gunas which you can see through your physical eyes. Like this is mic. This is rajo guna, sattva guna, tamo guna. You cannot see through physical eyes. Understand? Can? We only talk about three gunas means, three constituents means, because it is, that is how the matter is. We can only understand its manifestation. And so, that matter which is of three gunas is called trigunatmika. So there again, the predominant, each three types of matter, each type of matter has all the three gunas, but the proportion differs. So predominantly sattvic, predominantly rajasic, predominantly tamasic matter we have. So the predominantly sattvic matter is maya, which is in Vedanta Sara known as samashti ajnanam. That is called maya. And predominantly rajasic matter is called avidya, which is vyashti ajnanam. Understand? Predominantly tamasic matter is called what? Prakritihi. Three words you learn. You lean, understand? So, maya, avidya, prakritihi. Maya, avidya, prakritihi. All the three words mean what? Matter. Prakritihi means what? What is prakritihi? Matter. What is avidya? Matter. What is maya? Matter. Why do you give three different names? Proportion of the gunas, isn't it? Sattvic, predominantly sattvic, rajasic and tamasic. This matter, whether predominantly sattvic or rajasic or tamasic, the matter by itself, any matter is of the nature of inertness. Inertness is matter. That's why prakritihi jada. Jada means what? Jada means inert. What is the nature of the matter, if you say? Inertness is its nature. Inertness means what? Not knowing its own existence. Not being aware of its own existence is inertness. If you say, everything is inert here, isn't it? You have to include your body also, what? So this maya, which is this maya, avidya, prakritihi, three different matter, three types of the only matter three types of only matter, in keeping with the predominance of the gunas, even three different names. The matter is what? The nature of inertness. But this matter by itself will be what? A being inert in nature will be as good as non-existent. The matter is, will be, would have been as good as non-existent if it does not have, what now? If it is not associated with awareness, the consciousness. It is like, imagine, if there is a room, in that room there are only dark, the whole room is dark, and the room is filled with gold and diamonds and then, the platinum and silver and all sorts of precious gems and things. The room is full of treasure of wealth. The whole room is dark and locked. What will happen? Even though however valuable those gems are, however valuable the jewelry is, all the metals there, they're all as good, what now? As good as non-existent. Why? They will not shine. They cannot shine because there's no light. Is it clear? So here, the inert matter would have been as good as non-existent. Even if it is existent, it is not one thing called consciousness or awareness. Therefore we say, it is inseparable from the consciousness. In fact, this matter is looked upon as the very power of consciousness. That's why matter means don't think of something very gross. Here we are talking about the matter, the original matter, uncreated matter, mula vidya, mula prakritihi, and subtlest. It is not tangible, intangible, abstract, subtlest matter. Understand? Even the mind is very intangible for us. Imagine how subtle it must have been. Inexplicably subtle. There is no way of arriving, stumbling upon how the matter would have been originally. The maximum we can try to help you is just to have an idea how the subtlest matter would have been. If at all you want to know, some idea you can have, you can give is what? How you are in sleep. In deep sleep, when you are in deep sleep state, and the experience you have in sleep is what? The experience of total ignorance and bliss. The two things are experienced in sleep. Painlessness, experiencelessness is painlessness. There's no pain in sleep. Experience of the experiencelessness. And total ignorance is experienced. What is the total ignorance experienced in sleep? There is no knowledge that the world is. There is no knowledge that you are. there is neither the knowledge of the self nor is there knowledge of the world. Is it clear? That totally means. Understand? That is not absence of knowledge. Total ignorance is not absence of knowledge. Please understand, total ignorance is not absence of knowledge. It's a state of mind, isn't it? So that's only for us, you can understand through by analyzing your own state of mind, obtaining in deep sleep state, you can have an idea how dimmed in deep sleep state you are, along with you inseparably, distancelessly, what is what is experienced, and what is experienced is the bliss, the painlessness, and the total ignorance. But total ignorance is not absence of something. Is it clear? Only two things are there. You are in sleep. Don't say I was not there. You are in sleep. You know you are in sleep. That's why you wake up next day. Along with you, what else is there? An object of experience, isn't it? Because next day morning when you wake up, what do you say? You say, I slept well, I did not know anything, which means you were very much there, that is why you are able to recollect your experience. And what was object of your experience? You, the experiencer, and the object of experience, two were there, without any distance between you both. I was there, my object of experience was there. What was object of it? See, you were there, the proof is you are able to recollect your experience. And the object of experience also was there because you are able to recollect your experience. What was your object of experience? Total ignorance. Then painlessness, sukham. Therefore, the total ignorance is not absence of knowledge. That's an object of your knowledge. Object of experience. Is it clear? Hope you got it. That is only to understand. Maybe you can only try to understand. The original matter might have been like that. You can't even imagine. Understand what I'm saying? It's a very good lesson I'm giving. I don't know whether how much you appreciate it. At least total ignorance is not absence of knowledge. I want to understand one subtle point here. Total ignorance is not an absence of knowledge. Illuminator light and the illumined mic are there means. Okay, illuminator light and the opaque mic is there. Means, does the opaque mic, presence of the opaque mic, does it mean the absence of something? No. There's two things. Light, self-luminous light plus opaque mic. Only two things are there. I repeat it, it's a very important lesson, because many a time we mistake the total ignorance for absence of knowledge. I want to understand, if I say light, self-luminous or self-luminous, illumining light, and the, how can I say, light along with the opaque mic is, if I say, does this word mic mean absence of something? No. Illumining light along with the illumined opaque mic is does not mean, the word mic does not mean the absence of something. Is it clear or not? Similarly, in deep sleep state, when I say you, the consciousness, are along with total ignorance or in deep sleep state means, what does it mean? Awareness is, total ignorance is. Light is, opaque mic is. Opaque mic is means, does not mean absence of something, nothing. Nothing is absent, isn't it? Light is, opaque mic is. Similarly, total ignorance is, consciousness is, total ignorance is. You are, you the consciousness are, opaque, no, this ignorance is. Is it clear? This is not the absence of, that's not my absence of knowledge. That, hope you got it. So that, if we see that, you can understand the original subtlest matter. You can only try to sort of, you can have an idea of, you have an idea of how the original subtlest, most abstract matter would have been. You can have an idea through this analysis of your own deep sleep state experience. Is it clear? Anyway, so what I want to say here is, this, how this Prakriti, the original matter, is of three types, Maya, Avidya and Prakriti, and therefore this consciousness with original consciousness with the Maya, then is there's what now? There is omniscience and all omnipotence. Both become possible. Consciousness with the matter called Maya, what now? You then there's an Ishvara. The same consciousness, one indivisible partless consciousness with avidya is what prajna. So consciousness obtaining associated with the avidya. That the what is avidya? What you experience in deep sleep state. The object of your experience in deep sleep state. So you cannot conceive how Maya would have been. Understand? Avidya, at least you can try it. What is avidya now? Total ignorance. I don't want to use the total ignorance, okay? Total ignorance. Don't think of ignorance as absence of knowledge. When I say ignorance, I do not mean the absence of knowledge. You got what I'm saying? The object of experience obtaining in deep sleep state. The object of experience is not absence of something. Got it? So that our consciousness associated with avidya gets the status what? Prajnaha. Now leave the other matter. Prakriti we leave time being. Okay. So Ishvara you got. Prajnaha you got. Prajnaha is individual. Ishvara is total. Now this, the consciousness is associated with predominantly tamasic matter or not? It must be. Because consciousness is all pervasive means. It must be with all types of matter, isn't it? The consciousness associated with the predominantly tamasic matter gets the name what? Jagat. Universe, cosmos. Consciousness associated with the predominantly sattvic matter gets the name Ishvara, gets the titles. What titles? Omniscient title, omnipotent title. Title means what? Temporary. That's why I want to understand. It is not permanent. Any title means finished. Comes and goes. Not intrinsic. So the same consciousness associated with avidya gets the title what? Prajnaha. Or gets a jiva. The same consciousness associated with the predominantly tamasic matter gets the title Jagat. Understand? So all the three are what now? Consciousness. One. Titles are different. There is no Jagat other than consciousness. There is no Jiva other than consciousness. There is no Ishvara other than consciousness. Three different titles in keeping with association with three different types of matter which are basically one, inseparable, non-distinguishable. And we said, we left the predominantly sattvic and rajasic, we took the predominantly tamasic matter. And how, when you say the predominant tamasic matter is, we say the jagat, the whole cosmos means, predominantly tamasic matter, from that alone came what? Subtle elements. Elements, we say, it is all elements and the elementals, subtle and the gross, all of them are products of predominantly tamasic matter. Had remember this fact. Subtle elements, subtle elementals, and gross elements, gross elementals, all of them are what? Products of predominantly tamasic matter. What is this universe now? What is Jagat? Jagat is equal to subtle elements, subtle elementals, gross elements, gross elementals constitute what? Jagat. So we start this first. How from this predominantly tamasic matter came subtle elements. And from the subtle elements came subtle elementals. So all the subtle elementals constitute what? Subtle universe. Subtle elementals constitute subtle universe. Subtle elementals which constitute the subtle universe are products of what? Subtle elements. So here you understand what are the subtle aspects, elements which constitute subtle universe. Understand that's all. Subtle universe in Sanskrit, what do we say? Sukshma prapanchaha. Sukshma prapanchaha means subtle universe, subtle cosmos in subtle form. Subtle universe means sukshma prapanchaha means nothing. You put all the subtle aspects, subtle elementals together, constitute what? Subtle universe, sukshma prapanchaha. So what are all the subtle aspects which constitute the subtle universe? You can say, understand the individual so you can understand the totality of everything. The sattvic aspects of the five elements came, the five sense powers. And the sattvic aspects of all the five subtle elements together constitute what? The mind. So mind and sense powers, six of them. Mind means antahkaranam, I'm saying, talking about. The antahkaranam consisting of what? Mind, intellect, memory and ego. All the four different names are what? Four different names are the only four, the only antahkaranam in keeping with four different the functional conditions of the mind. One mind gets four different names in keeping the functional functions. Manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha, all four different names. Different thought modifications. So we say this is antahkaranam and five sense powers, six of them are what? Products of sattvic aspect of subtle elements. Is it clear? Similarly, we say all the five powers of organs of actions and the five physiological functions, five pranas, are one vital air governing five different systems or five different functions. You can say 10 of them, okay? Five pranas and five physiological functions governed by one prana. So all these five powers of organs of actions, like power in hands, legs, excretory organ, organ of speech, organ of evacuation, all of them subtle powers are there. Those powers are what? They're all products of rajasic aspects of subtle elements. Finished. These 17 aspects constitute subtle body, sukshma shariram. 17 factors, they are all different. There is no form, there is no body or anything, okay? Subtle. We call it a body, shariram, sukshma shariram, sukshma dehaha, astral body, subtle body, we say. But there is no body, there is no form. Understand? So sense powers, powers of organs, sense powers and antahkaranam. Mind and intellect. Mind and intellect, including what? Ego and memory. You can take them as two. Mind antahkaranam plus five sense powers, seven, are products of sattvic aspects of subtle elements. Then five powers of organs of actions and five physiological functions, 10 of them, constitute other products of rajasic aspects of subtle elements. So from rajasic aspects of subtle elements, you get what? All the subtle elementals. Understand? Subtle aspects, factors, which constitute the subtle body. Now you can stay, actually, you can think of the each power, individual power, the corresponding total power is called Devata. Devata. No? The individual seeing power is called Indriyam. The corresponding total power of seeing in every one of you, all of you are staring at me, feeling bored. Now, that seeing power in all of you is what? Total seeing power, not only us. Imagine the number of people living in this world. The seeing power obtaining in all the beings, even including dogs and cats, okay? Seeing power obtaining in all the living beings is what? Devata. The hearing power in all the beings. The power of smelling, including our special dogs. How powerful the power of smelling is, if you want to know. You know, the dogs used in Australian embassy, the quarantine. They come and see, my God, my bag was coming and jumping and grabbing my bag. I said, nothing. I said, no, ma'am, please open. They said, and then, you know, on small car, I had a small bit of vibhuti. A small packet of vibhuti. It won't go. My God. A small packet of vibhuti. Still in quarantine. Then I showed, no, I just my something. And then they let me go. What do I want to say? The power of smelling. Isn't it? Totality of all the powers is what? Devata. Now totality of all the powers, all the devatas put together, isn't it? Is what? Sukshma prapancha is what now? Put all the sukshma shariram, 17 aspects constitute one sukshma shariram. Sukshma shariram into total is what? Sukshma prapanchaha. Is it clear now? It's clear or not? And the sukshma prapanchaha. Now, consciousness with the sukshma, associated with the sukshma shariram, gets the name taijasaha. Same consciousness associated with sukshma prapanchaha is the name what? Hiranyagarbha. Two all different names. See now what now? You have learnt now four names now. Consciousness with. Now you can take it this way. Consciousness with the Maya Avidya. Now this is completely different now, isn't it? Consciousness with the elementals. Consciousness associated with subtle elementals. Not even elements, okay? Elementals. Which are products of predominant tamasic matter. One individual sukshma shariram, conscious gets the title what? Taijasaha. Same consciousness associated with the totality of sukshma shariram's gets the title Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear? All three, so many titles. Who is Taijasa? Consciousness. Who is Hiranyagarbha? Consciousness. Who is Ishwaraha? Consciousness. Who is Pragyaha? Consciousness. What are all the four? Different titles. For whom? One and the only same consciousness. When Durariji with this person, he gets the title husband. With that person, he gets the title dad. This Kailash who comes in, with that him, he is father-in-law. One person, isn't it? But how many names? Father, father-in-law, husband, and his brother. He is also brother. Also son. Also son-in-law. In relation with who is he related to? Same person related to different people gets different titles. So one and the same consciousness with Maya, Ishvara, with Avidya, Prajna. Understand? With the Sukshma Shariram, Taijasa. The Sukshma Prapancha, Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear? Now we have it to get what? Gross universe. Gross objects. We have to get the gross body also. And what are they made of? They are products, gross universe consisting of gross objects and the gross body. There are parts of gross elements means. Now we only have gross, no? Where have this gross elements? What are the gross elements first of all? First of all, you understand how the gross elements come into existence. What are the gross elements? And how from the gross elements the gross universe comes into being? That we have to see. Okay? And the same subtle elements become grassified, which means the process of grassification. What is grassification? How the gross elements, you know, how the subtle elements become gross elements, and how from the gross elements come all the gross beings, gross objects. That we'll see next class.